Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 10. Vipra dvi sadguna yuthad aravindava padaravinda vimukad swapanam swaparam virishtam manye tarapita mano vachane hitata pranam punati sakulam natu buri manaha. Viprat, then a brahmana, dvi shat guna vyutat, qualified with 12 brahminical qualities. And there's a little note there. These are the 12 qualities of a perfect brahman: following religious principles, speaking truthfully, controlling the senses by undergoing austerities and penances, being free from jealousy, being intelligent, being tolerant, creating no enemies, performing yajna, giving charity, being steady, being well-versed in the Vedic scripture, and observing vows. Aravinda Nava, Lord Vishnu, who has a lotus growing from his navel. Pada Aravinda, to the lotus feet of the Lord. Vimukhat, not interested in devotional service. Swaparam, one born in a low family, or a dog eater. Everyone had a different way of approaching this. One born in a low family. Or a dog eater. Varishtam, more glorious. Manye, I consider. Tat arpita, surrendered under the lotus feet of the Lord. Manaha, his mind. Vachana, words. Ihita, every endeavor. Artha, wealth. Pranam, and life. Punati, purifies. Sa, he, the devotee. Kulam, his family. Na, not. To, but. Buri manaha, one who falsely thinks himself to be in a prestigious position. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If a brahmana has all 12 of the brahminical qualifications, as it is stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life, the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmin, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. Purport. Here is a statement by Prahlad Maharaj, one of the 12 authorities, regarding the distinction between a devotee and a Brahmana expert in Karmakanda, or Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. There are 4 varnas and 4 ashrams which divide human society, but the central principle is to become a first-class pure devotee. It's said in the Hari Bhakti Sudadaya, Bhagavat Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram japastapaha. Apra nasyaiva dehasya mandanam lokarajanam ranjanam. If one is born in a high family like that of a brahmana, kshatriya, or a vaishya, but is not a devotee of the Lord, all his good qualifications as a brahmana, kshatriya, or a vaishya are null and void. Indeed, they are considered decorations of a dead body. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj spoke of the vipras, the learned brahmanas. The learned brahmana is considered best among the divisions of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudra. But a devotee born in a low chandala family is better than such brahmanas, not to speak of the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and others. A devotee is better than anyone, for he is in the transcendental position on the Brahman platform. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityai tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and then thus comes to the level of Brahman. The 12 qualities of a first class Brahmana, as stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, are as follows. Jnanam cha satyam cha dhamma shrutam cha ye ya madra matsaram ris titikshana suya jagnas cha dhanam cha driti samas cha mahavrata dwarasa brahmanasya. I think we had the translation previously, when that little asterisk. The European and American devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are sometimes accepted as brahmanas. But the so-called caste brahmanas are very much envious of them. In answer to such envy, Prahlad Maharaj says that one who has been born in a brahman family, but is falsely proud of his prestigious position, cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his family, whereas if a chandala, a low-born person, is a devotee and is fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he can purify his entire family. We have had actual experience of how Americans and Europeans, because of their full Krishna consciousness, had purified their whole families. So much so that a mother of a devotee at the time of her death inquired about Krishna with her last breath. Therefore it is theoretically true, as in practically proven, that a devotee can give the best service to his family, his community, his society, and his nation. The foolish accuse a devotee of following the principles of escapism. But actually the fact is that a devotee is in the right person to elevate his family. A devotee engages everything in the service of the Lord, therefore he is always exalted. If a Brahman has all the 12 of the brahminical qualities, as stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is adverse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but is dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmin because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana is in a position of false prestige, cannot purify even himself. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is full of stories how Brahmins were degraded, and how those who were lower than Brahmins by becoming devotees became elevated. One of the favorite examples is, for instance, Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is born in a Asura family, to the best of the Asuras. Yet he became Prahlad Maharaj, the best of the devotees, even above the Brahmins. Similarly, we can go over so many different stories. Bali Maharaj, he had the most elevated Brahmin spiritual master, but still he rejected him to become a great devotee. Similarly, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Haridas Thakur, Ramananda Roy, and even the Goswamis such as Rupa and Sanatan, who supposedly became degraded by their association with the Muslims, they actually became better than the best of the Brahmins. Such so that when Advaitacharya was offering the Shraddha Patra to his ancestors, he gave the results or the remnants to Haridas Thakur. He honored him as the best of the Brahmins, although he's supposedly born in a degraded Muslim family. That's the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says, mam hi partha vyapasritya, yepi supapayonaya, striyo vaishas tata sudras tepiyanti paramgatim. That anyone who takes shelter in me, though they be born of a lower caste, women, vaishyas, or shudras, can yet achieve the supreme destination. That doesn't mean that one becomes a great devotee. He automatically tries to obtain a prestigious position to show how great he is. There was one devotee, and his name was Kalidas. He was famous because he always wanted to get the remnants of all the devotees, whoever they were. So one time he approached, I forget his name, Boo something, who was supposedly born in a Shudra family, but actually he was a great devotee of Krishna. So Kalidas, he came to Boo something. Do you know what the name was? Boo, I forget it. It begins with Boo. He came to his house and he brought with him some mangoes. And this great devotee said, my dear sir, I'd love to give you some prasadam, but I'm a shudra. I can't really feed you. So maybe I can make arrangements. You can go to a Brahmin's house and get some prasad. He said, no, it's all right, you know. I'll go and find something, but I just came, I brought you some mangoes. So you just take the mangoes and I'll be happy, I'll find something to eat. And during the conversation he said, actually, you're a great devotee, so you're even better than a Brahmin. That a devotee of Vaishnava is even higher than a Brahmin. And he quoted the verse, such as tat kirtanam, tat smaranam, tat sevanam, or the other one was aho bata swapacho to garyan itivagre vartate namatubhyam. That if one is born in the family of even a chandala, but he chants the holy name, aho bata swapacho to garyan, Yajivrage vartate namatubhyam tapus tapas arya ramanuchora siora. I forget the last word. Anyhow, then it's considered that he's acquired all the great qualities of a Brahmin. He's bathed in all the holy rivers. He's performing all kinds of sacrifices and austerities. Tapus tapas te Jahu Arya Shasnura, Brahmanuchora, something, Brahmanuchora. Can you find it, Ananta? Grantite. So it's assumed that he's gone to all the places of pilgrimage, he's performed all the sacrifices. On the other hand, and the verse before that begins with what word? Shravanati. Yet Shravanam, Yet Kirtanam, Yet Smaranam. Yanamadeya Shravananu Kirtanam Yaksmaranam Yakuts the king can shit. That if one becomes a devotee, even if you're born in the family of a swapakṣa, a dog eater, you've performed all the different activities. What's the translation?
To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Person, personality of prophet, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him.
And on this basis, the Hare Krishna movement has been created in the Western world. That anyone who takes shelter of Krishna in all sincerity, then they become better than a Brahmin. Of course, we shouldn't assume that now I've gotten a sacred thread, and as soon as I get the thread, mystically I get all the 12 good qualities of a Brahmin. And then now I don't really have to try anymore. I just have to show everyone my thread and they'll be convinced that I'm a great personality. If you go to India, I remember one time in India, I was taking a rickshaw and of course the rickshaw drivers, they always want a little bit more than the agreed upon price. So at the end of the rickshaw, when I paid him, he said, you should give a little extra because I'm a Brahmin. I said, oh, really? And then he takes out his sacred thread, which he probably hadn't washed since he received it, 20 years ago, to prove that he was a Brahmin. So this is a conception that's, especially in India, that you're born into a family, and as soon as you're born in that family, you are eligible to be considered to be in that particular caste, because there's no question, there's no consideration of what the purpose of the Varnashram system is. Namely, to elevate one from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness. And if one is acting in the mode of goodness, then he's in the mode of goodness. And if one is acting in the mode of ignorance, one cannot claim that he's in the mode of goodness. And ultimately, above the mode of goodness is the transcendental platform, which the mode of goodness is supposed to help us come to. The example is used if you want to go to the fly from here to Frankfurt, at least. I think that's still available. Then the best way of doing it is to go to the airport and get on a plane that's going to go to Frankfurt. If you think you're going to get a plane ride by standing on the roof of your house, hoping that the plane will stop on the roof and pick you up, you're going to have to wait there for a long time. Probably as long as it'll take before all the quarantines are over. So we want to transcend, we should try to at least strive for the mode of goodness, because our method of coming to the mode of goodness is none different from the performance of devotional service to become conscious of Krishna. It's in the presence of Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, that we become purified, and therefore gradually we acquire the qualities of the mode of goodness by becoming an instrument for Krishna. The soul, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sada Kabanoi, Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Korye Udoi, the soul is already transcendental, he's already completely pure, he's the Nitya Siddha. But the activities of his body, mind, and words are in the modes of nature when he's a conditioned soul. But if he becomes conscious of Krishna, then the activities of his body, mind, and words become instruments of Krishna, and therefore they become the same quality as Krishna is. They become spiritualized. And therefore the activities are non-different from spiritual activities. Therefore we can see not only by one's external designations, we have to judge someone by their activities. If they're performing pure devotional service in the proper consciousness, then they're considered to be greater than that of a Brahmin. And if one is a Brahmin, but he's acting like a Shudra, or he's envious, just like the Brahmin who is living across from a prostitute, but he was very envious of the prostitute. So every time he was, because he was living across, every time the prostitute got a new customer, he immediately marked on his tree a little mark to indicate how many customers she was getting. And that way, he was thinking about how she was going to go to hell, how she's, you know, so sinful. So all day long he was thinking, meditating on the prostitute, how sinful she was and how she was going to have to suffer in hell. And the prostitute who lived across the street was seeing the Brahmin every day, thinking how pious he was, how sinful she was, how she was wishing she could become as pious and a great devotee as he was. So she was thinking of the Brahmin, how pious he was all day long. So at the end of life, the Brahmin, he went to hell because he was thinking of a prostitute. And the prostitute went to his spiritual world because she was thinking of a great devotee all the time. So it's not only what we're doing externally, of course it does have something to do by unfortunate circumstances, one may find oneself in some kind of degraded occupation, which one cannot get out of. But at the same time, one should try to improve one's consciousness. And therefore, one will not wind up like that Brahmin, Gopala Chapala, or that Brahmin, I forget his name. Who is the Brahmin who is telling Hari, who got into an argument with Haridas Thakur over whether liberation can be achieved, Anama Vas can give one liberation? Ramachandra Chakravarti? Gopala Chakravarti. It's Gopala Chakravarti. So he was a so-called great Brahmin. Of course he was a tax collector, but he was so-called a learned Brahmin. But because he offended a devotee like Haridas Thakur and even threatened to cut his nose off. And Haridas Thakur said, if Namabhas, if the Harina, the holy name doesn't give one Namabhas, then I'll cut my own nose off. And all Govardhan Majubdara and Haranya Majubdara became very upset that such an offense against a great devotee like Haridas Thakur. And they dismissed Gopala Chakravarti from their association. But because of that offense, although he thought himself a great Brahmin, and he had a nose, he was very a handsome person with a beautiful nose and beautiful lotus-like fingers. Because of that offense, he contacted leprosy, and his nose melted away, and his fingers melted away too. So one may imagine I'm very elevated, but if one does not come to the platform of devotion and respect others, then one is sure to fall back into the material existence and eventually into the lower species of life again, no matter how one may imagine oneself to be elevated. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So those verses that you quoted at the beginning were saying how the holy name is extremely potent and it qualifies one for devotional service. So my question is, obviously we are also sort of trying to qualify ourselves, and if the scriptures are right by telling the glories of the holy name, so obviously then it's on our end that we are lacking something, or because it's sort of not working, so well in practice, or how to say. So what is the, what should we do to...
Well, stop contemplating the objects of the senses, to begin with. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So we have to become... When we see something, we should think about how to engage it in Krishna service, rather than how to utilize it for my sense gratification. Then we'll be able to remember Krishna. And remember Krishna, then when we chant the holy name, it'll have some meaning to us. And if we thinking, we're looking around the material world thinking that what can belong to me, it's not a very good relationship with Krishna. We're not going to be able to chant the holy name with much feeling. So it's a question of practicing devotional service with devotion. Coming conscious of whatever we have and utilizing it in Krishna's service for Krishna's mission. Then when we chant the holy name, we'll be able to chant it with some feeling, with some meaning. It'll mean something to us. Is that right? Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Here it is mentioned that even a devotee born in a Chandala family is higher than Brahmana with all qualities. And sometimes maybe we can also fall in the trap that as a Vaishnavas we don't follow Brahminical principles, or we don't develop Brahminical qualities. For example, cleanliness, punctuality, and this. How to avoid this kind of mentality that it's we are higher. It's not applied to us.
Really? You mean we got to Frankfurt and we didn't have to go to the airport first? Well, we're probably dreaming we're in Frankfurt. Without becoming a Brahmin, there's no question of being a Vaishnava. If you're a Vaishnava, you automatically should be a Brahmin. And if you're not exhibiting the qualities of a Brahmin, it's very doubtful that either you're a Brahmin or a Vaishnava. We're aspiring to become Vaishnavas. We're probably aspiring to become Brahmins. It's not that we got this, the sacred thread and some magic happened. My body was transformed, not by devotional service, by the sacred thread.
So if the qualities and the values of doesn't manifest, then something is wrong with our...
Well, we already practice. Know there's something wrong. The question is, how much is wrong? Yeah, we should be humble and try to make some progress. Not that, you know, I thought I was a Brahmin, now they told me I'm not a Brahmin. No, I'm just going to act like a Shudra. No, we should try to become a Brahmin. If you think you've attained something when you haven't, then you're not going to make any progress to obtaining it. If you imagine that you're not living in Slovenia, you're actually in Hawaii right now, then if you wanted to go to Hawaii, then you wouldn't make any endeavor to go to Hawaii. Someone would come along and say, come to Hawaii and say, Mom, Marie, there. So we think we've already obtained the brahminical qualities. We're already a Vaishnava. We're not going to make very much progress. Of course, we always like the speaker coming and say, you know, my dear devotees, you're so effulgent, I can hardly see you out there. I know you're all great devotees. I'm so fortunate because I'm such a fallen soul. By your mercy, of the dust of your lotus feet, I may become elevated one day to become, you know, the servant of a Shudra or something. So, you know, we can flatter ourselves and other people can flatter us, but we should try to see things as they actually are. Then we can make some progress in that way.
So how to avoid this usually you have a high opinion of our qualities, that we are better than we actually are in reality. How to avoid, or what should be the mechanism that we don't fall in that trap?
Associate with the devotees and don't fight with them. When they become a little open, as Vaishya Guru once said in a class, I live to be corrected. Not that I live to correct others. All right, thank you very much. Krandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.